You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC alongside Alejandro Moreno. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Plenty to get to as we celebrate the return, Ale, of club football. Craig Burley, Steve Nichol going to join us in a little bit to preview the action in the Premier League. But let's start by welcoming into the show Jan Agafjordtoff and Archie Rintut. Gentlemen, great to have you with us. We'll kick things off with a look at the Spanish papers, which spent, most of Thursday chasing Erling Haaland's father and agent around Spain. The duo visiting both Barcelona and Madrid ahead of a potential bidding war this summer. Of course, Dortmund setting the transfer fee at 180 million euros. Jan, as with all things Erling Haaland, I feel compelled to start with you. Does this mean that Erling Haaland's exit from Dortmund will indeed happen this summer and not next?
No, it won't. The Erling Haaland, Team Haaland and Raiola did exactly the same thing when he left Salzburg. They started off visiting different clubs, Barcelona and Real Madrid. At that time, when they did this last time, he ended up Dortmund. So I guess Dortmund knows the drill. They have been they've been told what they're doing. So that is no problem. Having said that, I think this is a win situation for everybody. We're in the middle of pandemic. They have put forward 150 or 180 million euro. And Dortmund showed last summer with Sancho they would stick to their price. So I think this is a win-win. They'll check the market. They see, is there anybody out there in this pandemic crazy enough to take out 150 million euro? And if not, he will stay in Dortmund anyway. But still, timing can be discussed. It's a decisive game coming up against Frankfurt for Dortmund to be in top four. It's a very essential game. But now, this is normal. This is win-win. And the funny thing is, and I have to give you that one, that is one guy who is always pictured there, everybody. There are photos, yeah, that's Raiola. But the other guy is a friend of Alfie Haaland who helps him on the finances, traveling with him. And I think that's Raiola too. I'm not sure if that's the best compliment in the world for that young lad from Norway.
All right, interesting. So Jan says this doesn't necessarily signal an exit from Dortmund for Haaland. You agree? Because it's a pretty loud and public way to go about this.
It is, but I look at it from a business perspective, I think it's good business. Mm. It's good business from Team Haaland, as Jan refers to it. And I think it's good business for Dortmund as well. From the perspective of Haaland, you look at it and you say, okay, well, I'm telling my current team, Borussia Dortmund, is I have options. Mm. You know I have options, but I really have options, okay? And I'm going to go visit those options. And so you better be aware that this is happening, and I'm putting myself out there, and somebody eventually is going to show up and say, we want you, and we want you for this amount of money. You should know that this is happening. Mm. Okay. But you're also telling other teams, not Borussia Dortmund, you're saying, I have options in Spain, but I'm also going to the Premier League teams, and I'm also traveling here and there. So not only are you guys option number one and number two, no, there are other options as well. So if you want to dance with me and you want me to be a part of your team, then let me tell you something. You better bring the music with you, and that music better be expensive. That's as simple as that. You're touching both bases. You're sending a message to Dortmund, and you're sending a message to the potential suitors as well.
All right, that cackling you hear in the background is none other than Archie Rintut. What's been the reaction, Archie, from the Dortmund side of things?
It's just all that chat of flirting and bases, Sabi, got me all giggly. Yeah, the talk from Dortmund this end is that, yeah, they're pretty relaxed about the situation. And the thing is, you have to take into account that Dortmund are losing between 3 and 4 million euros per home game that they're not getting any fans in. So there is going to be a financial hole at that club this summer, which is made even bigger if they don't make the Champions League. Hence the reason why this game against Eintracht Frankfurt tomorrow is huge, because if Frankfurt win, there's 7 points between Dortmund and Frankfurt. And given that Dortmund have only played well at 20-minute stretches for most of this season, I think you can wave goodbye to them having the consistency to overtake them. And I think that, yeah, as Jan says, if there is a silly enough offer out there, then it's likely to probably come from England right now, I would say. Given Pep Guardiola is always a difficult person to read when you hear him in interviews. He said that Manchester City don't have the money to spend on a new striker. That is the same Pep Guardiola who has had 946 million euros spent on his team since he arrived in Manchester. So I'm not sure, because there is a fixed clause for Erling Haaland from next summer, I think that that could encourage a team to think about putting in an offer to tempt Dortmund away from selling Haaland. But I think it all hangs on whether they make the Champions League, because that's very much going to improve their hand.
Jan, what do you make of what Archie says?
Yeah, I agree with him, of course. But on the one side, you have Dortmund to have, will end up then, will have 75, 80 million debt after the pandemic, or losing this year. But it's also a fact that all the potential buyers will have problem with the pandemic as well. And that is the funny thing, that the first place they go is Barcelona. So Barcelona got like trillion, billion, fantasy million kind of debt. And so then you elect the president, and the first thing he will do is to keep Messi, and he will buy Erling Haaland. So I think this as a bit show off, is, like I said in the beginning, is a win-win, but everybody communicates something here, and that should not be underestimated. And just let's see now what is going on in the next coming weeks. We'll got to discuss this again.
Archie, I want to go back to the quote that you mentioned about the potential transfer here from Pep Guardiola. Here's what he had to say: with these prices, we are not going to buy any striker. It is impossible. We cannot afford it. All the clubs struggle financially, and we are not an exception. We have Gabriel, we have Ferran Torres, a lot of players in the academy, and we sometimes play with a false nine. There are a lot of big chances that we are not going to sign a new striker for next season. So from that perspective, you'd think, all right, City's off Haaland's list. I can tell you're not buying it.
Look, Pep Guardiola has used some of the academy, namely Phil Foden, but he's going to come up against a player called Jadon Sancho, potentially, if he's back in time for the second leg, at least, of this game. And for him to be talking about the academy, having spent, oh, I caught it, 950 million euros or so, yeah. No, I'm not buying the Kool-Aid on this occasion. Sorry, Sebi.
All right, from the Haaland perspective, Ale, which is a more enticing potential destination, Barcelona or Real Madrid?
We took a jump there from Manchester City all the way to Barcelona. Let me just touch on Manchester City for a second. Pep Guardiola is kidding himself if he's going to put Erling Haaland in the same category as Gabriel Jesus and Ferran Torres.
And academy players,
okay? In fact, let me do you a favor, Pep. Put together Gabriel Jesus, Ferran Torres, and the academy players, and still you don't have Erling Haaland. So, please, enough of that. As for what's a better fit, I suppose that right now, if you look at the needs for a team, it would be Barcelona. Man, if there's a team that is screaming for a number nine, for a different type of number nine, it would be Barcelona. And what a dream it would be for Barcelona and La Liga to have Lionel Messi and Erling Haaland on the same team. For however long that is, that would be some sort of impact for John Laporta coming in as the new president of Barcelona.
On that front, there have been great players who struggled to play with Messi. No chance that would happen here?
I don't think so, because Erling, all I gotta tell you is, hang around the 18-yard box, Lionel Messi will find you, you're gonna score goals, Barcelona's gonna win games. You don't have to try to find a place, you don't have to be like Antoine Griezmann floating around here and there. Well, is he a nine? Is he not a nine? Is he an underneath striker? Is he a playmaker? It doesn't matter. With Erling Haaland, the picture is very clear. You stay up there, you let Messi work around you, game, set, match, Barcelona wins.
Jan, there's a massive match this weekend against your former club for Dortmund, Eintracht Frankfurt. If they don't make the Champions League, how does that impact the next couple months?
Well, it's quite interesting, not on a short term as well, because we know that Erling Haaland's one of his strengths is to block things out. He can go to Sevilla doing great in the Champions League, and he come back to the Champions League. In the Bundesliga doing well. And now the pressure is in the German media. It's all on Dortmund. Will they be under pressure? Will Erling Haaland deliver tomorrow in a very decisive game against Eintracht Frankfurt? So if they win the game, everything is okay. But if they lose the game, they know, of course. Team Haaland knows, of course, what will come their way, because then it's the reason, because Raiola and his dad of Erling was in, they were both in Spain. Having said that, I think that both, when you see the messages coming out of Dortmund, is they kind of understand that if we don't get into Champions League, there are just some dynamic going around that the pressure will be so high. But I think that the main priority for Dortmund is to use Jadon Sancho as the guy who will kind of help them out of the financial trouble in the summer. I think that is the plan, doing that. And a friend of mine sent me a text message. Is Dortmund a bank or are they a football club? Because if they sell Erling Haaland, that is the financial thing of it. But if they have an ambition as a club, remember they started the season as the main challenger to Bayern, and now they're struggling coming into the top four of the Bundesliga. And then they, of course, have to keep Erling Haaland, because he is the symbol of the kind of a team that wants to get into places and get titles.
The table tells us just how big a match this is for Dortmund. Right now, 4 points behind Eintracht Frankfurt in that top four spot. But with a loss, they'd go 7 points out of the top four, Archie. This really feels like a must-win for Dortmund. Do you think they can get the job done?
Not necessarily, because Eintracht Frankfurt are having a great season, as their fourth place position in the table suggests. They have somebody tied on goals with Erling Haaland this season, and that is André Silva. In fact, if this was any normal Bundesliga season, then they'd be fighting for the Torjägerkanone, the goalscorer's cannon, which you win if you're top scorer. However, there's somebody 14 goals ahead of both of them right now. He's injured, so they're probably not going to make that up in the time that Robert Lewandowski is injured. But that said, it's going to be a great game. The fact that we get to watch Dortmund-Frankfurt and then RB Leipzig-Bayern tomorrow is a real treat in the Bundesliga. And I just, having watched Dortmund away at Cologne last time out and just seeing how, again, Dortmund can only play well for a 20, 25-minute period and then they just aren't at it, it's difficult. If Frankfurt can ride out that period, should it come on Saturday, then even if they have a terrible record at the Signal Iduna Park, the Westfalenstadion, I think that Frankfurt are actually better placed right now, even if there is, I keep saying even if, but there are lots of things to add here, and that is that Adi Hütte is being strongly linked with a move to Borussia Mönchengladbach. So lots going on in the background at Frankfurt, but on the pitch, they look like a more stable team than Dortmund, as they proved by beating Bayern Munich a few weeks ago.
Jan, we know your love for Erling Haaland. We know your love, obviously, for your former club, Eintracht Frankfurt. You must be torn. Who do you got winning on Saturday?
I absolutely do. I want both teams to get into the Champions League, and I can see that is difficult. I think it's all about which Dortmund team will turn up tomorrow. If it's a team that sometimes in the Champions League that we see a glimpse of, then they can beat Frankfurt. But Frankfurt, that system, will they play with two strikers? Will they put Jovic in there? Will they play with two number 10s behind André Silva? There's a lot of things coming up tomorrow. And I think sometimes Frankfurt has been very impressive this season because they've been linked with Bobic going, Hütte going, and there's always talking about players leaving the club, still managed to get the point. So I will go for a draw tomorrow. I will be diplomatic.
Come on, Jan.
Wow.
Come on.
Jan Agapjordov sitting on the fence. So what do you know? All right, thanks, guys. I'm sure we'll be discussing Haaland plenty more in the coming weeks and months. Look, if you ever miss an episode of the show, you can always download the podcast. Plenty of bonus material on the podcast, and it's available daily over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Premier League back this weekend. Action starts early Saturday. Chelsea against West Brom. We're focusing in on Arsenal in ninth place against Liverpool in seventh. That also on Saturday. For more, we welcome in Steve Nicol and Craig Burley. Stevie, ahead of the international break, you were pretty pessimistic about Liverpool's top four chances. They're just 5 points out. You any more optimistic ahead of this game against Arsenal?
No, I'm not. Listen, any... Not just Liverpool, but any of the sides outside the top four have to look at the fourth place spot, and that's Chelsea. And Chelsea are at home to West Brom, who, quite frankly, are, in my opinion, dead and buried. So anybody chasing Chelsea is going to have to win. And Liverpool at Arsenal is going to be a tough game. It's certainly not a given. Both sides, actually, you're not quite sure right now what you're going to get. And so this is going to be a tough game. So it's a must-win for Liverpool if they have any aspirations of the top four, which obviously they have. But unfortunately for them and everybody else, Chelsea are playing West Brom at home. So I'm not that optimistic still.
Craig, a loss would put Liverpool 8 points out of the top four. You agree with Stevie then? A must-win for top four hopes?
Yeah, they've got to put a run together to have any chance and hope that Chelsea start leaking goals, which they haven't done. We think pretty much Leicester and Man United will be in there. I'm not expecting Leicester to win at the weekend, but pretty much I think they'll be in there. So they are, as Stevie said, looking at Chelsea. And all they can do now is just try and put the best run they can put together between now and end of the season. They've not been able to do that so far. The one big bonus is they've got Diego Jota back recently, and he was in great goal-scoring form for Portugal. It was almost like he picked the baton straight up from the early season form when he signed for Liverpool. So that's another option for them. Henderson's still out. But it seems unlikely that they're going to be able to put maybe like, what, out of, I think, 8 games left or something, they're probably going to need at least 7 victories out of those at least. And they've not been able to do that this year. So, yeah, it's a must-win for them. And then all they can do is just keep plugging away because they don't want to be in that dreaded Europa League next year.
Stevie, how do you see this one playing out?
I think Liverpool will win ultimately. I think it will be tight. You know, Arsenal can't keep a clean sheet. I mean, you could say that Liverpool struggle with that, but Arsenal can't keep a clean sheet. Mm. And I don't suppose Saka, who I think has been their most important player whenever he's been on the field, he's been the one that's opened everyone up. I don't believe he'll play. He got injured with England, and Arsenal can't afford to take a chance with this kid. So I think Liverpool will just edge it.
Craig, you agree with Stevie?
Yeah, I think so. And it's interesting that Jurgen Klopp seems irked as well by not only everything that's been surrounding him this season with the injuries, which is understandable, and then the fixtures and everything that goes with when his team kicked off and what day they kicked off. He now seems irked with the international manager, Gareth Southgate, for not selecting Trent Alexander-Arnold. I mean, he's like, you're trying to question the international manager now as well, when I'm sure Gareth Southgate doesn't ring Jurgen Klopp up and say, why does so-and-so not play? So it just seems that everything has got under his skin this year. But I do think Liverpool will eventually come out of this. Certainly will come out of it next year. But I could see them getting a few results between now and the end of the season. Whether that'll be enough, I don't know. But I could see them beating this Arsenal side at the weekend, who did lose 3 goals at West Ham and were beaten by Olympiacos at home, although they did make it through in the Europa League.
Craig, let's turn our attention to Leicester City and Manchester City. Right now, there's 7 points between Leicester City and fifth place. Is it enough? Because we all remember what happened last year.
Yeah, and that's the worry for them, is that they have had some injuries to key players, particularly Vardy a few weeks ago, and now Maddison, who's been huge for them. And Wilfred Ndidi was out the side for a long time. And they just don't have the recruitments that the other teams have. So, yeah, that is a possibility for them, and I think that's a big problem for them coming into this game. It's a game against City, which was a real weird one at the Etihad, where, you know, Leicester won 5-2. They got three penalties, and it was City's early season form was really bad. We know it's not the same Man City side now. And it's also a City team that Guardiola's had the luxury of a lot of his big guys having a rest in this international couple of games, because some of the guys stayed at home, like Laporte, and other guys from South America, the Premier League dug their heels in because of all the quarantine issues, and they didn't have to travel. So quite a few City players have had a rest, should be well prepared for this to finish the season strong.
Stevie, Craig mentions it, the reverse fixture between these two teams, 5-2 to Leicester City. What kind of result do you think we get on Saturday?
I think clearly you have to think that City are favourites, but even though Leicester are missing some of their players, like Sam Maddison and Harvey Barnes as well, think about what they did to Manchester United. You know, they broke on them with devastating ease, and Iheanacho is in an incredible run of form. Listen, Vardy as well, he's due a goal. So this Leicester City side are capable of breaking on anybody. As good as Stones and Diaz and that back line's been, they're going to have their hands full, because Leicester will sit tight, I think, initially. But on the break, they can get after anybody and create and score goals. So this is going to be a tough game for City. But clearly, you have to think City are favourites.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. By the way, James Maddison back in the squad for Leicester City. A reminder, you can always check out our ESPNFC YouTube channel for plenty of content from the show. Extra time always over there. Shaka's power rankings there as well. Don't miss a single video.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Bayern Munich 4 points ahead of RB Leipzig ahead of the two sides meeting Saturday in Leipzig. Game you can catch on ESPN2. Of course, no Robert Lewandowski for Bayern. Still, big match. And on Friday, our Archie Rintut caught up with Leipzig manager Julian Nagelsmann for this exclusive.
If Lewandowski could play the game, Bayern Munich is a bit better than without him. But there are still 11 world-class players. Serge Gnabry perhaps will play in the central forward position. He's also a very, very good player, very, very dangerous for our own goal, and it's still a world-class team. I think they should be better with him, but they are still world-class.
Is this a title decider, Julian, or is this just, or can the title only be lost tomorrow by either team?
I think, first of all, it only can be lost if we do not win the game, or if it will be a draw, then it will be very complicated to win the title in the future. But if we could win, it's not still done. We have to win all the games after the game tomorrow, and we should hope that Bayern will lose a game, and then it's possible. But I think tomorrow it's only about if we lose or if we do not win, then I think we could not win the title. But if we win, then it's possible, but it's not done.
So Archie Nagelsmann saying there it's a must win, but not a title decider. You agree?
Yeah, and also that Bayern Munich are a bit better with Robert Lewandowski. Understatement of the century there, given that he scored 35 goals this season. I think that with the fixtures that are left this season, Leipzig have to win tomorrow, as he states. But if you look at the run-in after that, Leipzig's final four games of the season, I think, are particularly tough. Stuttgart at home, Dortmund away, Wolfsburg at home, and Union Berlin away. Those are really difficult games. And they have to win them all, I think, to put the pressure on Bayern. I think that Bayern will drop points between now and the end of the season. The question is just how many. They, too, have some difficult games left in the calendar. Mainz is not as easy a game as it was a couple of months ago. You look at the fact they've got to play Borussia Mönchengladbach, see what they've got left in them, Bayer Leverkusen, Union Berlin as well. So I think there are still some twists and turns left in this title race. But the first of those twists, if there is to still be an extended title race, needs for there to be an RB Leipzig win tomorrow, which wouldn't necessarily please most of Germany, surprisingly enough.
Jan, it's a big if, but if Leipzig do beat Bayern Munich, do you fancy them then to go on and win the Bundesliga?
Well, Bayern do everything they can to make it a bit more excitement this year. They play 10 against 11 against Stuttgart, still manage to score four. They make a crazy fight between Salihamidzic and Flick. Nobody knows what that is all about. They're winning everything. And now they take Lewandowski out for at least five games in the Bundesliga, but on a serious side, I mean, you can't feel when you follow German football as long as I've done, and if you've seen it last years, you kind of feel that Bayern will win anyway. They will probably go to Leipzig tomorrow. Mm. Leipzig will fancy themselves having a chance without Lewandowski, being in good form, a lot of their players coming back from international duty with a lot of confidence. And then probably Bayern will win again. I mean, we've seen it so often. And hopefully there can be a change tomorrow. Archie is saying that I think that the German fans tomorrow, on one hand, they don't want RB Leipzig with that Red Bull kind of thing not to win. On the other side, they don't want Bayern to win everything in Germany. So I think it's very hard for the neutral fans of Germany tomorrow, this Topspiel tomorrow night.
This game was described by a medical professional as, would you rather have cholera or the plague? So that's the problem. That's the problem between choosing between Bayern and Leipzig. Sorry, Sevi.
No worries. Nagelsmann, Ale, has, you know.
I'm going to go with neither, by the way.
Yeah. Saying Bayern Munich a bit better with Lewandowski. How much do they really suffer for his absence?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So the part in which he kind of downplays and I say a bit better, he's just trying to make the point that obviously Bayern Munich is still a great team. And that I agree with. But when you don't have Robert Lewandowski, it moves pieces around. And so, yeah, Serge Gnabry now has to play as a center striker. And he moves a little bit sort of the dynamics of what Bayern Munich is as a group and is as a team. But more importantly, it's the fact that you're missing out on the productivity, on the goals, on the certainty that there's going to be a guy that if the ball comes into the 18-yard box, he's going to do something to score an important goal in an important moment, in a moment that matters for you if you're Bayern Munich. And if we think of moments that matter for Bayern Munich, this game against Leipzig is very much the best example. For me, Lewandowski not being there, it just really, in some ways, forces Bayern Munich to play a different type of game. And not having the certainty of the striker. And then the other thing that I think is really interesting about this is Leipzig is forced to win the game. Mm. Does that mean that we see Bayern Munich sort of absorbing pressure, which is unlike them? It's not what they do. It's not what they do best. Is that the approach that they take? Yeah, Leipzig is going to come at us, and now we're going to go on the counter, and we're going to try to use our athleticism in the final third. Is that the way that we win this game? It's going to be interesting the way that Bayern Munich approaches this game, seeing that Leipzig is very much desperate for 3 points.
Archie, it's hard to imagine kind of a better setup for Leipzig, not just in the short term, the weekend, no Lewandowski, but long term, Bayern Munich obviously still involved in the Champions League. If not now, you got to think, when is anybody going to knock Bayern off this perch?
Exactly. And picking up on something that Ale was saying there as well, the only team that Robert Lewandowski hasn't scored against in the Bundesliga is RB Leipzig. So he's not going to be able to do that on this occasion. The fact that Alphonso Davies is out suspended as well means that you have a greater chance of getting in behind this Bayern team. It means that you don't have the roadrunner coming up from behind you and he's going to nick the ball no matter how far through on goal you are. So I think that as we saw with that Leipzig team there that we reckon they might play tomorrow, Julian Nagelsmann's always a difficult person to predict in that regard. They have problems on the left-hand side. They don't have Angelino. He's
close to returning from injury, as Julian Nagelsmann said in his press conference today, but not quite there. And Marcel Halstenberg, who picked up, who is a precautionary measure, not playing due to his contact with Jonas Hoffmann, who contracted the coronavirus. That's a problem for Leipzig, and I think that they are going to be vulnerable down their left-hand side. But make no mistake, we saw them in a strikeless formation score three goals in quite some fashion earlier this season at Bayern. The only thing that changed that game was a shock injury to Javi Martinez, and they brought on Jamal Musiala, did Bayern, and that completely flipped the game. So there are things that you just can't plan for, and it's that unpredictability that makes me very excited for this one.
All right, Jan, prediction time. I hear you with a lot of confidence in Bayern Munich, even without Lewandowski. What do you think will happen in this game?
Well, we are big fans of the Mozart of football, Julian Nagelsmann, but sometimes when coming up to the key games, now he has at least learned to take off these silly suits that he had at Old Trafford after getting hammered there. But you just feel sometimes that Julian Nagelsmann, I'm not saying he's overcomplicated it, but it's in these games that you expect him to do some magic kind of thing. And I think that everything leads to a win for Leipzig tomorrow. So I will bet that Bayern will win this game.
Mm. Ale, you agree?
How about a draw?
Really?
It's all that Bayern Munich needs. And to be quite honest with you, I just don't see Leipzig coming through in the big moment. Mm. I have learned over the last few years that it's hard to trust Leipzig against Bayern Munich. It's hard to bring myself to say, yep, this is the moment that they overturn it. I don't think that this team truly believes within themselves that they're better than Bayern Munich.
Yeah, hard to trust anybody in Germany against Bayern Munich, yeah, if we're being honest, right, yeah, over the last few years. Leipzig-Bayern on Saturday, one of seven games on the Saturday slate for the Bundesliga. Six of those, of course, on ESPN+. Leipzig-Bayern, a 12:30 p.m. Eastern start over on ESPN2. And the trio you just heard from will be with us on Extra Time. Hey. Ale, Jan, and Archie taking your questions from social media. And if you want to watch it, always make sure to head over to our ESPNFC YouTube channel.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thomas Tuchel had this to say about Timo Werner, of course, in the context of that awful miss for Germany against North Macedonia. Quote, yesterday I sent him in from training because I said, you don't need that. Your body and your brain knows how to score. He continued, if a woman doesn't want to go out with you to dinner, you cannot force her. You just step back a bit and maybe she will call you.
What?
Ale,
what?
Jan and Craig are all still with us. Jan, I'll start with you. What do you think of the advice from Tuchel? Not necessarily the dating advice, the football advice.
Well, I've been married for so many years now, so I'm out of that business, unfortunately. But Thomas Tuchel says it's the right thing for a striker. The problem with Timo Werner, he is kind of a guide that he is like every other player, but you just look at him and you see sometimes as he loses confidence. The last seasons in Germany, there have been times he had one season, he went two months without scoring a goal in the Bundesliga, and then one season, 3 months. So this is not your typical goal-getter, but still, I think that what Thomas Tuchel said is right. Sometimes you need to force it. Having said that, when you do a thing like he's doing against North Macedonia, missing a chance like that, kind of, well, you feel sorry for Timo Werner. And as you know, he didn't start the games. He was their number one striker. And he's a bit back in the peaking order. And for a for an old striker like myself, I can hardly watch that. I have to turn around.
Craig, when you see a player miss a chance like that, what goes through your mind about where that player's at in terms of confidence?
Low would be the answer. Very low. And it happens, you know, and we've all seen it. And look, there's no right and wrong answer to what you should or shouldn't do on the training field. Do you stay out there and work on these things, as some do? Or do you say, as Tuchel has, look, take your mind off it, it'll come. Go away, don't think about it. So don't beat yourself up about it, don't lose sleep over it. So there's a couple of different ways to look at it. I mean, he could have stayed in the training ground for half an hour every day and still not hit the barn door. That's not going to do his confidence any good if he can't even score a couple out of 10 in the training ground. So he's a confidence player. But the bottom line here is there's no passengers, certainly when you're at elite level clubs who are spending big money, who are aiming for big things like Chelsea are under Abramovich, and Tuchel can't have any passengers. So it is a confidence thing, as Jan said, but if he doesn't get himself out of it soon, he'll have to sit him on the sidelines potentially. And if he doesn't turn it around long term, he'll be out.
You're Werner, you're struggling at Chelsea, you got North Macedonia on the international break. That's where you're supposed to get healthy. I mean, this couldn't have come at a worse time.
Well, one of the conversations leading into this games for Germany and the three matches and the opposition for Germany was that, you know what, it's a great moment for Timo Werner to get away from the pressure cooker that it has been at Chelsea, the fact that he hasn't even been able to deliver, and in a more comfortable environment, he's going to be able to score goals and lift that confidence. Well, okay, that didn't quite work out. I can tell you this. In that particular image, when you see Timo Werner running towards goal, it's almost like a cartoon, and you can put that cloud above the head of Timo Werner saying, don't pass it to me, don't pass it to me. Oh, he's passed it to me. Oh, my God, what am I going to do now? The wheels are grinding in this man's brain right now. He doesn't quite know what to do. He doesn't allow his body to take over and do the things that he knows and he has done year after year after year. And because of it, that level of confidence continues to go in the wrong direction. As for the advice on the dating by Thomas Tuchel, I would just say, maybe she's not that into you. Right. Maybe she doesn't want to be with you at all. That's why you leave her
Sebi.
Alone.
Go on, Craig.
Sebi. No, I know, because there's two strikers, Ali and Jan, but it looks to me, and it has for a long time, and I don't know what the boys think, and I think Ali was kind of alluding to it there a little bit. He seems to be rushing everything. And what I mean by that is even the run there for that ball across, he almost got in a little bit too early ahead of it, because that ball coming across him, well, it should have went across him onto his right foot, but he slightly got ahead of it a little. Okay, the pass maybe wasn't brilliant, but he slightly got ahead of it and it was a little bit behind him and he had to take it on the wrong foot for that ball across. And when I've seen him at Chelsea in the last 6 weeks or so, whenever he gets in a decent position, he rushes the strike or he rushes the run and he snatches at stuff. And I think that's a clear sign of anxiousness and obviously a loss of confidence, because when an attacking midfielder or a striker are in those positions, the one thing they do generally is they compose themselves, they don't rush it. And he just seems, everything in his mind at the moment just seems to be happening too quick.
Jan?
Yeah, it's a very good point. And I got a great advice when I came to Vienna. My coach was Hans Krankl, of his generation, one of the best goal getters of the time. And he said, it's always better to get too late in than too early. And I agree with that body language of Timo Werner. Sometimes you feel that he wants it too much. And if you want something too much, you kind of get into a cramped situation or you rush things. And he does that as well. Because, okay, I want it on my left foot. Then I have to do my movements ahead of that so that I get into that great position. And then if you mix that with a lack of confidence, you mix that with moving to a new country, moving to London, Corona and everything, then you have that situation. But as Craig's saying, this is not for small boys. If you're going to play for Chelsea, if you're going to be a title challenger, well, you have to start scoring goals, Timo Werner.
Here's what we know for sure. There are 1,000 thoughts going on in his head right now, and none of them are clear. And because of that, everything becomes mumble. Everything becomes complicated. And something that should be a tapping, that should be something that is second nature to you, all of a sudden is a swing and a miss.
You think he'll come good at Chelsea?
Not this season.
Mm.
Not ever? This season. Well, ever, it's a long time. Right. I think eventually, because this guy will get back to scoring goals. But this season has been a real struggle, and I just don't see it turning in a positive direction anytime soon.
Chelsea in the Premier League, of course, returning on the weekend. So does Serie A. There you can see the matches on Saturday. Bologna, Inter Milan, Saturday, ESPN2. All the rest of the day's action available for you on ESPN. Plus, some more news out of Italy. American Weston McKennie, along with teammates Arthur and Paolo Dybala, suspended for Juventus's match against Torino for violating COVID protocols. For more details, you can check out the article over on the website. That among the many topics discussed on the latest edition of the Serie Awesome podcast. Mina, Nikki, and Matteo leading the charge on all things Italian football.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, that's all the time we've got for this edition of ESPN FC. Boy, you're Wellington Phoenix, huh? Yikes. Yikes.
What do you got to make it personal?
Thanks to Craig and Stevie for joining us right now. Extra time, Ale, Jan, Archie, and your questions. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time. Ale Moreno.
There he is.
And Sebi here in the studios. There we've also is. Got Jan and Archie. Hanging out as well, plus some great questions, a full sheet of them here today.
Okay.
First up, is it disrespectful?
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Starting with some polemica. To Dortmund, for Holland's representatives to start talks with Barcelona and Real Madrid, knowing that he still has a contract with his current club until June 2024. Jan, is it disrespectful?
Was it disrespectful for Team Holland when he was at Salzburg to travel the world and find a club and ending up in Dortmund? So I think if you can't take the heat and so on, get out of the kitchen. And Dortmund knows about this. And
or your sauna. Or your sauna, for example.
Exactly. And put a sweater on with so on. But I know Team Holland. They are politely enough. And I guess I know that Dortmund knew about this trip. That was not a surprise for them that they were on this trip.
Archie, any disrespectful rhetoric in the German media?
I believe Jan when he says that Team Haaland is respectful. I'm not sure about Mino Raiola, who famously once threw a chair in a meeting with Dortmund over Henrik Mkhitaryan not being allowed to leave the club. But that's another thing. I think that in Germany right now, you look at the fact that people are saying, you know, they just have to make the Champions League and then they go from there. It's that simple.
You said on the show, it's just business.
It's business. It actually, if I were the player, I would want to have all the information available from all the clubs that are interested in my services.
Couldn't you do it like over the phone though?
Well, no. See, I'm old school. I'm old school. I want to talk to people.
Right,
you see, I want to be right there. I want to know. I want to see the facial expressions. Whatever happened to actually communicating with people and saying, this could work for me, or maybe this is not a match.
Very well.
Sebi, look at that pocket square. That is old school right there for you.
Look at that. Look at that.
He's not zooming.
I am not. Nope.
That's a detail for the in-person meeting right there. Jan, now that Marco Verratti is ruled out against Bayern, who will be the favorites to win?
So Verratti out and Lewandowski out. I still will say that Bayern will have a chance to go to make. This is the best team in the world. And with Lewandowski out, we can start discussing are there other teams who are as good as them? PSG are not. But over two games, and let's just see now how Bayern in the first game now cope with this in the Bundesliga, how they kind of shoot there in, how did they make their system before that Champions League game. I will still say over two games, it's Bayern for me.
Verratti, that much of a miss for PSG? How big of an impact is that?
Huge impact. I think Marco Verratti gives PSG a couple of things. first of all, personality, a presence in the midfield, and then quality of passing, quality of vision, and quality of movement that PSG misses when he's not available.
Archie, you're the man in Germany, perfect for this perspective. Why is it so difficult for the German FA to sack Joachim Löw? Performances have been average after the shocking World Cup, and it's clear he is too arrogant to call back Müller, Hummels, and Boateng. Archie?
He's off in the summer. Is that not enough? I know that most of Germany.
I mean, they just lost to North Macedonia, Archie.
Wanted him gone. They did, but they created more chances in that game than they did against Iceland. So it wasn't as clear cut, I think, as it's being made out. I think that Joachim Löw certainly has his issues. I think that the game has moved away from him faster than he could necessarily keep up, which is not to say that he's not still a very good coach. It's just I think that he's not the right coach for this set of players anymore.
Jan, you think the German FA should make a move before Euros?
I think they could, because there are things moving. They're moving things now in Germany. They're not sure if can they get Flick in the summer. So this could be a way to take him out now. And by the way, we could end up having Lothar Matthäus as an interim coach of Germany. Imagine that.
Oh my gosh, and such a good interview.
Hello Germany, hello Germany. You play North Norway next time. North Norway with Bodø/Glimt and Tromsø. Please play us.
If Manchester City miss out on Erling Haaland, who is their second best option to replace Agüero with? Of course, Pep told us they have no money, so they're not, just not going to bring
and
somebody from the academy.
Well, somebody from the academy. Gabriel Jesus is there. Ferran Torres is there.
False nine.
We play with a false nine. You know what? Too late. We don't need a striker. Hey, Haaland, don't worry about us. We're not in the running for you.
I mean, do they? They're kind of co-favorites to win the Champions League without a striker. They're running away with the Premier League.
Uh-huh. So you don't want Erling Haaland
either? Nah, I'm just saying.
Are you going to get on that train as well?
I've had a lot of bad takes in my day, but that is not one I'm willing to link my name to. Would Ale prefer his children play for Venezuela or the United States?
Ooh.
Their country of birth, the United States of America.
Okay.
That's it.
Land
of the free. Home of the brave.
Archie.
That's where they were born. That's where their hearts should be. That's it.
But if Venezuela comes calling, because your son's a pretty good player. So I've played against him.
Then Land of the free, home of the brave is going to have to wait.
There it is. Yeah, I bet there'll be some pressure there. Okay, Archie. Why does Emre Can play in defense for Dortmund and Germany? He's simply not good in that position, and we've seen that so many times this season. Do you agree with this?
Not necessarily, actually. I thought he did well in the first two games of this trio that Germany had. And I think that actually what he brings to them alongside Mats Hummels for Borussia Dortmund, that he brings a very important connection with Erling Haaland. And I saw that up close and personal when I was in Cologne last time, how much Haaland values Can's connection that he has with him. So I think that Can can still do a job there. I don't think that he should be a permanent solution there. And actually, Emre Can being in defence, there is more of a symbol of how things have gone wrong for Germany on an injury level and for Dortmund on a recruitment level.
Yeah,
but this is a good point, this, because Emre Can, Mats Hummels, both good football players, both good defenders, but they're not very good at defending. And that is a part of it. And Mats Hummels has always been like that. He's that tricky kind of Franz Beckenbauer, the Kaiser kind of player with his great passes going forward. Same as Emre Can, but I agree with Archie. That just shows you that in a moment for Germany and Dortmund, they don't have properly good blocking defenders. That both missing that.
I feel like Stevie Nicol. We just listened to Stevie there, yeah?
Absolutely.
Game's Stefan Nicol. Nobody knows how to defend. Save the Crew Scott asks here, what does Ale predict for his former club as they defend their MLS title this season? Running back in MLS is like, although you know about that. You have experience.
You said it. I didn't say it. You look at a team that has added depth.
Yeah.
And, in fact, you can make the argument that right now, going into preseason,
on paper,
the Columbus Crew have a better team now
right.
than what they did in the team that won MLS Cup. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, but right now you look at this group and you say, it's not only about winning last year, it's about building into the future. And if you're a Columbus Crew fan, you should be very, very encouraged by that.
MLS season, of course, starting April 17th, so that's what, two weekends from now.
Yeah. Okay. You excited about it?
I'm ready, yeah, all right. I'm ready.
You know it and you love it.
Yeah. Oh, back.
Is it back? I don't know. We have to get people to
see about your next contract negotiation.
No. Hey, look, I'm willing to do it. It's just, we don't have enough people around.
That's right.
It's you and me doing the show. Then how are we going to put all the stuff together?
There you go.
The material. The material is important.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks to Jan and Archie. Thanks to you, Ale, as well. ESPN FC on your screen 7 days a week. Don't miss a single episode. The boys are back tomorrow. Plenty of action across Europe on the weekend.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.